Welcome to Dents in the Darkness, the monthly podcast of the Northeast Collaborative. We seek to empower pastors to lead and launch healthy churches in Northeast America. I'm your host, Tim Madera from WRGN, and I'm here with NEC's president, Dan Nichols. Well, this month, we have Sharon Davis with us. Dan, tell us why you wanted to have Sharon come on the podcast with us today.
It is a huge honor to have Sharon on the podcast today. Sharon is charged with this amazing privilege of promoting her late husband Ken Davis's book. And the title of the book is Foundations for Fruitful Church Planting, Essentials Before You Launch. But more importantly than that, I just wanted to have you get to know Sharon a little bit more because we've done many years of ministry together through a ministry called Project Jerusalem that Ken and Sharon worked together on for 20 years. And it was so fruitful, God did amazing things. And wanted you all to hear how awesome Sharon is and also to talk about her awesome husband, Ken, who is now with the Lord, and just honor his incredible legacy, which I'm a part of and so many other leaders around the Northeast are a part of as well. So huge honor to have you on, Sharon. Thank you so much for coming on and being with us.
You're welcome.
It is good to have Sharon with us today. I got to meet Ken and Sharon on multiple occasions, share meals with them, and blessed to know the ministry of Ken Davis. They say that behind every faithful man is an even more faithful woman. And Sharon, you have been there with Ken through some very challenging times. You raised a family together. You ministered together. Why don't you share with our listeners about what brought you to the Lord, about your ministry and your family?
Oh, I'd be glad to answer that. And I was actually going over that in my head this morning, reviewing it. And I thought I would, well, we would start with college days. Ken and I met in college at Bob Jones University. And you know what? We were both doing Bible clubs, Saturday Bible clubs, in the African-American community. That brought us together because there were several of us going in several places. Anyway, we were interested in each other, so we started dating, and then we got married in 1969. We just saw yesterday would have been our 54th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So we got married in August of that year, continued to do what I just said, going out into neighborhoods on Saturdays. One Saturday, Ken came home and said, "We're going to start a church." And I'm like, "I have no idea what he's talking about, really." Anyway, he was not going to be the planter. We were going to be a part of a team. And there was a gentleman, a Baptist and Missions missionary, who had been in the Central African Republic, now teaching at Bob Jones. And he was going to be the leader. And the rest of us, and there were several couples and individuals, were going to be the team. And you know what? Teamwork is the best. We didn't know it then, but teamwork was the best. So we started meeting and we met in a, well, it wasn't the best place. It was a place where, like a social hall where people could have parties and beer. So we'd come in on Sunday morning and clean up. And but we did it. And then God gave us a building. Anyway, it kept going. But God used that experience to show us that church planting, and at that point, the African-American community was very important because we needed to have good teaching. So God used that. We applied to several mission agencies. Baptism and Missions was the only one at that time that, and I hope you don't, I don't know if you're going to edit this out or not, but they said that whites could work with blacks, and yet we could do it overseas, not in the U.S. Okay, now we're talking the early 70s, you know. So anyway, we did. They accepted us. We raised our support in about 6 months, and they asked us to move to Indianapolis, Indiana. There was a church that had been planted, but the pastor was older, retiring, and it just needed a lot of help. So actually, we were involved in our first kind of, like Dan likes to do, you know, helping churches be healthy. So we were there 7 years, helping them be a healthy church and raising our family. And during that time, Ken and two other men helped start Baptist Bible College of Indianapolis. Then that became Crossroads Bible College.
Yeah.
Charles Boyer, you may know. It's now College of Biblical Studies out of Houston. But God used that to really show Ken he really likes to teach. And he and Charles Ware actually created a course on racial reconciliation. I'm not sure that that was the title of the course. But anyway, God used that in a wonderful way. And then Ken somehow connected with Howard Bixby through Baptist Bible Seminary. Howard says, come on out to Clark Summit. The man who had started the Project Jerusalem is leaving. Would you come? Well, again, that was a really big step of faith. We'd still had our missionary support. Most of our churches continued supporting us. We did get a little bit of money from Project Jerusalem, but not a lot, but enough to live. So we moved out, and you know what? We had 20 years of learning and growing and seeing churches planted, one of which was Tim and Dan, which is so good to look back and see what God did. You know, I always feel, though, that we learned more than we taught, because you really learn going, and you learn from the people you work with, and you have to be willing to change and learn. And, you know, Ken was such a learner. It was every week, I'm sure he read a book, at least one, and reviewed it and put that review on Facebook or something, because he wanted to share that. And he had started a resource, churchplant.net, lots of resources. You know what? His phone is quiet now, so there's no, I disconnected his phone, but that phone was very busy. The email was always very busy. And since that prayer letter yesterday, I've heard from people that have said, oh, I'm so blessed. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to share that history, because I think that history is important. You know, you made a comment, I don't know if you're going to edit that out. And I think it would be a mistake to edit things like that out, because it is a part not only of Ken's history, but a part of our history. And if we don't learn from those historical things, then we can repeat the same mistakes. Do you feel, Sharon, like the idea of the teamwork was such a big part of Ken's experience because of that time at Bob Jones and the extensions that you did and then the planting of that church?
Yes, and I don't think we thought of it that way. Isn't that interesting? It's like the team concept is spoken about so openly now, but we were doing it before people thought about it. Mm-hmm. When Ken was at Trinity Baptist in Indianapolis, he did preach three times a week. Okay. We didn't really have so much of a team, but that church had already been planted. But the next church, Greater Northwest, which was planted out of that, yes, there was a team, and no, Ken was not the pastor. Because that was the other thing that he learned, was that the missionary doesn't have to be the pastor. Sometimes he does. But in this case, if you can have someone in place, go ahead. And that was one of the purposes of starting the Bible College, was to train men to be pastors and some church planters too.
And Sharon, I always appreciated so much how you and Ken were a team. Like, you guys fostered teamwork in the church planting teams that you served, Restored included. Restored was the church that God led me and Tim Walker to lead out in. But it wasn't just me and Tim. I mean, we recruited a much larger team due to Ken's training. But it wasn't just training that he got up and shared content that he just wanted to spit out. It was stuff that he was living himself. And I saw it so much in your marriage. I mean, almost just shy of 54 years, right? Is what you said.
Right.
What an amazing testimony of God's grace. And you had such an impact on all of us, as not just as Ken's wife, but in your own right of being a teammate. I remember him always referring to you as his teammate, and you guys did the ministry together. And that has impacted me so deeply, not just in church planting, but even with my marriage to Joy. I mean, we just celebrated 10 years. We're right on your heels. But it's so vital that the whole kingdom of God thinks in terms of teams when it comes to marriage and home and church and society, and you know that we have to come alongside each other and work together rather than isolation. And I think that's a huge part of not just Ken's legacy, but that's what you have given to us as well, Sharon. So very thankful for that.
Well, thank you. It wasn't perfect. Sometimes I describe myself as glue because somebody... Yes. Someone had to keep things glued. And yes. I remember Carol Bixby, Dr. Bixby's wife, often saying, the busier your husband is, the more you need to be at home. Mm. So I was at home, but I was also out with Ken.
Oh, yes.
But if I wasn't out every time, it was because I needed to be at home. So it's a balance, and it's a lifetime of learning. Mm. You can never arrive.
Now, speaking of home, you've raised a family. Yes. Are any of them in ministry as well?
Well, not in pastoral ministry. Our daughter in British Columbia, she's married to a Canadian who she met in China. Nice story. Right? Okay.
Nice.
They do teach in a Christian school, and they're very involved in their community. And Jeff is an elder. And then our son-in-law who lives here, Pete Young, he is a deacon. So, you know what? I'm really thankful all four of our children are involved in churches. They may not be pastoring, but they are involved. And that's what counts to me.
It absolutely is. In fact, I would say that, yes, each of them are in ministry then, because I think that is one of the challenges that sometimes we as pastoral leadership sometimes can get into as we look at ministry as only being the paid professionals. We are all called to that ministry. And so they are fulfilling that calling. And I think that's great.
I agree with you. I thought you were talking about full-time ministry, but I totally agree with you. We all are in ministry, paid or not. Mm.
Well, on that note, I remember Ken's biggest line that I remember vividly is the resources for the harvest are in the harvest.
Yes.
And yes, vocational leaders are called, and it's awesome that many can be vocational leaders, but I think what Ken instilled in us was we have to look at the mission field itself and raise up leaders from every walk of life, from every ethnic background, from every challenge and crisis and family of origin, and say, look, God has called you into his family, not just so that you go to heaven, but that you would become a multiplying, reproducing leader in those giftings and wirings and spheres of influence where you are, where you live, work, and play. And honestly, I think we've lost sight of that in the church. And Ken and I would talk about that for hours, about how we need to mobilize lay leaders and volunteers and people who are in every sphere of influence, not just vocational leaders alone. And so, yeah, the resources for the harvest are in the harvest. Mm. That's one of my biggest remembrances of Ken's teaching that I've continued to try to live out imperfectly in my own life.
Because we're all growing.
Amen.
Growing. Knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18.
That's right.
You know, we moved to Medina, Ohio for two reasons. One was it to be near family. We were three blocks away from a child. And then to be a part of Maranatha Bible Church. I hope I can put in a plug for them. And they've supported us for several years. Came out to the Scranton area and helped with some churches, took on our support. They plant churches, and they planted six. And the last church that Ken was involved in through Maranatha mentoring was the 539 Church, which is in Akron, about 20 minutes from Maranatha. So Ken and I we got to go to the church when they were remodeling the building that had been given to them and meet Mike Duma, who was a homegrown from a little kid product of Maranatha. Awesome. Anyway, so Sunday, last week I emailed Mike Duma. I said, Mike, I really want to come out. You have three services, believe it or not, 8:30 and two others. I said, can I come to the 8:30 a.m. service? Are you preaching? He said, yes. Okay, so I went to the 8:30 a.m. service thinking, oh, who's going to go to 8:30 a.m. service? It's hard. The building must have had at least 200 people, and I'm not good at estimating. And then it had children. It was full, and there was diverse.
Mm.
They were diverse. I just talked to him a brief little bit afterwards. And then I scooted over to Maranatha for their ABF and the last of their morning service. But oh, it was just brought so much joy to see the fruit of Ken's last church plant that he'd been involved in. And Mike would call him frequently, but, you know, to finally see it.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If you're Randy Alcorn, his book on heaven, you're looking down. So I don't know. He may.
That is a great book. I do enjoy that one. Now, speaking of books, church planting woven through every fiber of Ken's being. And right before he passed away, he finished his book, Foundations for Fruitful Church Planting, Essentials Before You Launch. Right. Why should people read this book?
Because I said so.
Spoken like a wife.
I know the author.
And mom.
Well, you know what? I want to tell you, Ken wrote, I will tell you in a minute why. Ken wrote this book for seminaries, for training men. As I read it, and I've heard it through in sermon form, most of this for many, many years, okay?
Yeah.
Not thinking, oh yeah, that's going to go in the book. I really feel this book is good for pastors who are going to send out missionaries and and church planters. But there is also good for lay people because of that teamwork. There's a former student of Ken's who lives in Raleigh, goes to J.D. Greer's church, and she is going to be a part of a church plant. And so she ordered the book. She paid the full price, which is not cheap. And she said, I want to be a part of it. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly right. If you're going to be a part of a church plant, you need to know something about what you're getting into. So just looking at the table of contents, I mean, Ken goes over the biblical foundations, the theological foundations, eschatology, missiological, and then the spiritual foundations. And he talks about the practical foundations. You know, you as a church planter and your family, how do you prepare? There was nothing like that written. I mean, there was hardly a church planting book 50 years ago. And there's a lot of how-tos, but this is more like, why do we do it? There's a good reason. The Bible teaches it. Jesus is for this, Paul. And so we need to be aware of what's going on. And then, okay, who's the man and his wife or family that we're supporting? So that's why I feel people should read it. It is a long book. That's true. But you could pick and choose.
Well, one of the things that I think Ken gave to all of us was this redefinition of what church planting even is. There's so much in the church planting world that is so unhealthy, where it's basically like, let's just be a cooler show, or let's do church in a specific style. Like, I see this all the time with church planting, and it's like, oh, well, we're going to be this kind of a church, and that's why you should come. And it seems like the whole motivation is just stylistic or more form-based. But really, the foundations for church planting that Ken instilled in all of us who learned from him was, it's about seeing people go from lost to leading. It's about making a dent in the darkness, shameless plug here, like truly seeing people go from far from God to being leaders for Jesus. And if that's not your main motivation, I mean, when we moved to Wilkes-Barre, we made so many mistakes, even with Ken's amazing coaching. There were so many things that we didn't get right, but I can look anybody in the eye and say, we went for the right motivations. We went for the right reasons, and God blessed it, I believe, because we simply wanted people to be introduced to Jesus and to help believers care about those who don't know Jesus yet. So that would be another reason why I think a book like this would be so valuable.
You know, that reminded me of something that he talks about, is that we reproduce after our own kind. So a church won't reproduce until they're also reproducing healthy disciples, groups, and leaders. And I think that's a very important point, because you're not just gathering people that you can support, throw out there, but you are investing in people so that they are growing healthy leaders. But they're not perfect, because none of us are perfect, but we're learning. So Ken was described himself as a practitioner, because he didn't just tell you, oh, this is what you should do, this theory. But you know what? He was a scholar too. And I applied that more and more. He did earn his D.M. at Trinity Theological, and he really loved to study. So he read all the time.
He was very much a ready, aim, fire type of guy. I know there are lots of people out there who are ready, fire, and then they go, oh, what did I hit? Oh, Dan's volunteering that he is one of those guys. Well, I'm sure that he had a huge impact on you, because the subtitle of that book, Essentials Before You Launch. And yes. One of the things that I always saw with you and Tim, Dan, as you were starting Restored, was that you laid the groundwork. Many people say, I'm going to do a church plant, and they just jump in with both feet. Look, we can make a lot of mistakes that way. And look, we learn from our mistakes. But wouldn't it be so much better to learn from somebody else's mistakes, which is what you may find in this book?
Right, and that's exactly why I think Restored was blessed so well, is because we knew at the very get-go we had to have coaching. We had to have mentoring and coaching and counseling. I mean, all of those different avenues, we surrounded ourselves with the right people. Mm-hmm. And Ken and Sharon, you were two of the most important ones, because without your guys' influence, we wouldn't have laid the foundation in a solid way. But because of your influence, I mean, look what God has done, not just at Restored, but my gosh, so many church plants, including this latest one in Ohio, that is so exciting. So exciting.
Oh, it is. And Tim Walker came by. I guess I can plug in for me. He brought a report to us. I'm sure you've seen it, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because we had given towards it or something. Anyway, I was like, oh, wow, this is wonderful. And of course, we're Facebook friends, and I'm seeing things that are going on, and it's exciting. You know what? I've learned you don't look at the skinny people, like the Dan and the Tim, who are single and skinny and young. And, oh, they can't do it. No, you don't do that. You don't look at the outward appearance. Mm. But at the same time, you need someone to help you put on the brakes, because as Tim mentioned, many church planters just want, they're so excited, they just want to get started. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. But if you haven't laid a groundwork, you're going to be very disappointed, discouraged. You're going to have discouragements anyway. So why add to it at the very beginning, because things are not going well?
Mm-hmm.
So
anytime you guys would have us in your home, which was also very huge for us, Sharon, like your hospitality has modeled for us as ministry leaders to replicate hospitality as a part of our normal rhythms. You never treated us any differently. It was not like a top down type of thing. It was very much an embracing of, okay, this is your mission, this is your calling, we're going to come alongside you guys. And that just meant the world to us, both you and Ken, doing that and saying, hey, we're going to encourage and we're going to tell you, well, this stuff is awesome, but we're also not going to have blinders on and, you know, refuse to tell you what you need to hear, even though you may not want to hear it. And that balance is hard, but both of you have done that so well for so many. And we, at our Restored team and our larger Project Jerusalem family, Northeast Collaborative was launched out of Project Jerusalem's legacy. But man, all of us who have been on the receiving end of that are so grateful of that balance between grace and truth, encouragement and discernment, you know, hard conversations about things that need to be chipped away. And that's invaluable. And anyone out there who is considering church planting, you need to find an amazing coach like Ken and a teammate like Sharon to come alongside you in that journey. Huge, huge, so important.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan.
Now, we've got a lot of leaders that will be listening to this, probably mostly men. And I would ask you, Sharon, what would you say to the men that are listening as to how they can help their wives in ministering together with them?
Mm. That is a good question. It obviously depends on the couple.
Okay.
A good marriage doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're growing together. And I couldn't always read all the books that Ken read, but he shared a lot with me. I mean, he's reading all the time. but he's sharing with me. So I think a husband has to communicate with his wife what's going on. She may not be able to read that book or that article you think she could read, because she may have children running around. Some women are homeschooling. Some women are working full time. She does have to be herself, but just encourage her to be growing in Christ first. And then everything falls in place. But doesn't mean you won't be perfect. So I think, and this is really hard, especially for my generation, is to be transparent when you have a problem. Be transparent with your wife, but as a couple, and have someone safe to go to for counsel if you need to. Listen to her. Sometimes women have an intuition about a person or a situation that they can't explain, but God has laid that on their heart. So be willing to listen. But you know what, too? It still comes down to that headship. Sometimes a man has to make a mistake.
I thought you were going to say decision, Sharon. I didn't expect you to say mistake.
Okay, mistake and decision. I'll put the two words.
Okay.
It's okay, though, because, yes, I mean, and that happens. I mean, that's life, but he doesn't have to hold it against him. But it's just working together, and I follow just seeing what Dan and Joy do, like having Taco Tuesday and things like that. Mm-hmm. I said, that is fun. That's a great idea. I'd like to put that in my toolbox, but I can have somebody over, but Ken and I together. But I think something like that, it's simple, it's fun, but listen to your wife. But you have to kind of see, Ken was always very encouraging to me. Like, have you thought about doing this or thought about doing that? And sometimes I thought about it, sometimes I didn't want to think about it. So,
to be honest. So look at your wife's strengths and weaknesses and kind of guide in that direction then. Not every pastor's wife is going to be the one that plays the piano or.
Oh, thank goodness. Exactly. You know what? Isn't it great that I don't think there's that stereotype today.
Anymore.
No.
You don't have to lead every Bible study, play the piano, teach Sunday school, and dress to the nines. You have to be yourself, but you have to think of your husband's position too.
When Joy and I were dating, she also, like you said, when you guys first were married and Ken brought the church planning idea up and you said, what is that? What does that look like? When Joy and I were dating, I was already church planning in inner city Wilkes-Barre. And she's like, what? So if we ended up getting married, like, what would the expectations be? Like, if I'm going to be a church planner's wife, like, what does that really mean? And all I told her was, I said, you know what? Anything ministry wise is totally up to you. Like, anything that you do want to do, I'll be all about it. Anything you don't, I will tell everyone she's not going to do that. But the one thing I said we must do together is hospitality. Hospitality has to be a team effort between the two of us. And you and Ken modeled that for us, but it also is just biblical. I mean, it says right in scripture that one of the qualifications to be a pastor, elder, overseer of a church is to practice hospitality. And so that's just a major thing that I think a lot of, like, I always say we're experts at complicating the simple. And we're experts at that because if we make it extra complicated, we give ourselves passes for not executing the simple. When it's all complicated, we're like, it's so complicated. But really, the Christian life and even Christian leadership is not that complicated. We just add more to it than we should.
Yes, we put a lot of things on burdens on people that we don't need to. So, Dan, when you and Joy have people over, the house does not have to look perfect. The meal doesn't even have to be perfect.
Exactly.
I mean, tacos, one of my very favorite meals. I grew up in Southern California, it was popular before it was popular. So absolutely, you have to be yourself. You have bad days.
Yeah.
All there is to it.
Yeah.
And I have to give Joy credit. Taco, it's now Thursdays because I have another thing on Tuesdays. But it was her idea when we moved to Central New York. She said, I think we should do this so that you can always have something to invite people to that you don't have to ask my permission for.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Good idea. So anybody listening, they can take Joy's advice for that one. Too bad you changed Thursday, though, because Taco Tuesday sounds better.
It does sound better.
Well, Sharon, we so appreciate you taking the time to come and to share with us. I've really enjoyed our time together here. And I know that you're in a different stage of life now, promoting Ken's book, Foundations for Fruitful Church Planting, Essentials Before You Launch. How can we pray for you and your family as you're in this different stage for you?
Well, I when people ask me that question, which is asked frequently, I say, pray for me to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, my children promised their dad they would take care of me, and they are. So, you know, I've been on vacation with this one and that one, and I like all that, but I also want to have a down-to-earth schedule, because I'm that kind of person. I want to have ministry in my neighborhood, which I do, with unsaved and unsaved people. So pray for that. And also, in fact, this afternoon, I have an opportunity to be at someone's house. They're little boys. I, you know, take them gifts on birthdays and things, little things like that. And then there's, you know, just being a part of the church, just really for making decisions with my time. It is taking a bit of time making connections with people. And sometimes, because I'm a woman, I'm wondering if they like that. Okay, just saying that out loud. Okay, I'm sorry. I tell you what, I'm hoping that the churches who have supported me through Baptist and Missions will continue. Mm-hmm. And maybe some others will be added, individuals, because I do need a little extra money. I mean, Ken took good care of me. I have a car that's only a year old to pay for, a house that's paid for. Because when you sell a house in Pennsylvania, it costs a lot more than buying a house in Ohio. So, you know, you can. Mm-hmm. So just things like that, but it still costs to live. Mm-hmm. So I'm that, and just praying for opportunities. Okay, make good decisions. That's kind of like the bottom line.
Make good decisions.
I do have a prayer letter on Facebook right now that people can see. I'm not just sitting around. I have things that I'm doing.
I think we know that, Sharon, and I appreciate the fact that you stood with Ken through a very difficult time as he battled cancer for many years, helped him through the process of finishing up this book, and hopefully this will be a great resource for those who are even thinking about church planting. And really, that is what the NEC is all about. The Northeast Collaborative is here to help empower pastors to lead and launch healthy churches here in Northeast America. Well, in the show notes, you will find all the information that you need for all the things that we have talked about today, including how to get in contact with Sharon if you're interested in helping or supporting or finding out more about the book. Thank you for joining us today on Dents in the Darkness. And we're out.